Thanks for joining us today for our daily devotion in the week that some folks call Holy Week. It's the last week of the Lord's life. And there are certain lessons, I think, that God wants us to learn in each one of these special sessions. Our scripture for today is John chapter 16, kind of given to his disciples right before the cross. We begin with verse 16, "A little while, and you shall not see me. And again, a little while, and you shall see me, because I go to the Father." Then said some of his disciples among themselves, "What is this that he saith unto us, a little while, and you shall not see me, and again, a little while, and you shall see me, and because I go to the Father?" Well, they said, therefore, "What is this that he saith, a little while, and we cannot tell what he saith?" Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and so he said to them, "Do you inquire among yourselves of what I said? A little while, and you shall not see me, and again a little while, and you shall see me. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy." Of course, the events of the crucifixion. "A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now, therefore, have sorrow, but I will see you again. Your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hither have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs. But the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly the Father. And at that day you shall ask in my name, and I shall say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you, because you have loved me, and have believed that I came out of God. I came forth from the Father and am come into the world again. I leave the world and go to the Father." His disciples said unto him, "Lo, thou speakest thou plainly and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God." Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, and is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I'm not alone, because the Father is with me." Last verse, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." I guess we could focus our attention on these last words to his disciples and begin to understand that the Lord was trying to teach them some very important truths concerning prayer. And I guess with our coronavirus in this year and all of the fears and trepidations, I guess my question that we need to ask ourselves is, God calling us as a nation to prayer? Is God calling us as a church to prayer? Yes, we're praying for the first responders and the doctors and the nurses, but is God calling us to repentance and prayer and be able to see the main thing as really the main thing? The amazing thing to me is, as soon as Jesus began to teach, the disciples didn't ask him for any explanations, but they turned to each other and they said, "Well, what do you think he means? And what about this? And what about that?" You know, that's so much like us today. Instead of going to the Lord, instead of spending time in prayer, instead of focusing our attention on what he has to say in the Word, do we do the same thing? I mean, Jesus was right there, but yet they didn't ask him what he meant. And the same thing is true with us today. The Lord Jesus said, "I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee." He's right here, and he's waiting to give us wisdom and direction. He's waiting to give us answers. He's waiting to give us peace. Is God calling us to prayer? You know, I think the greatest discovery is the fact that prayer works. I mean, before the day of Pentecost, you remember the disciples praying there in the upper room. And then prayer preceded the revival that took place in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. Prayer preceded the healing of the lame man in chapter 3 in the first two verses. Prayer preceded the prison release of the Apostle Peter. Prayer preceded Paul and Silas release in Acts chapter 16. See, prayer works. And I think God is trying to teach us in these last days of our Lord's time of teaching, prayer works. The great man of prayer, George Mueller, made this statement. True prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance, but understanding his willingness. Not overcoming his reluctance, but understanding his willingness. And how true that is. The Lord is definitely wanting to answer our prayers. But we see in verses 23 and 24 that Jesus is the passcode, the password, as it were. If you ask anything in my name, you'll receive it. Now, the Bible says in 1 John 5 and verse 14, we have to ask according to his will. So therefore, we have to be in the word, understanding his word so we understand his will. So he says, ask anything according to his will. Then it tells us in Mark 11, 24, we have to ask believing. Believing. In other words, faith is not believing that God can, but it is knowing that he will because of his promises. And then we see prayer's reward in verses 24 and 33. He says, hitherto you've asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. They were facing some of the most difficult times of their lives. Jesus was going to be crucified and going to be gone for 3 days, off the scene. What was he talking about? That your joy may be full. We go to verse 33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And so prayer is rewarded by joy and peace. The Bible says that will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. And so, yes, we'll have a hard life, but we'll have a peaceful heart and mind. We'll have the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. As I come to the end of this short devotional, I want to share six truths with you that if you'll jot them down and focus on them throughout the course of this week and the weeks to come, I know they'll be a blessing and a help to you. The first one is this. It's not what I go through, but how I go through. It's not what I go through, but how I go through. Do I go through prayerfully believing? Secondly, a holy life doesn't live in a closet, but it cannot live without the closet. There has to be a closet time of prayer. The third one, when I get down, I get down on my knees. Oh, how true that needs to be. When I get down, and many of us get down over a lot of things, in that case, get down on your knees. The fourth one, regardless of what I'm going through, I'm going through. Regardless of what I'm going through, God has given me a promise that I'm going through. Number five, your prayers mean nothing to God until they mean everything to you. Your prayers mean nothing to God until they mean everything to you. Lastly, sometimes he calms the storm, but sometimes he lets the storm rage and simply calms his child. During these uncertain days, the storm may rage, but just simply understand, God is here to calm his child. And if you know Christ is your personal Savior, you can understand through his word how you can go to him directly and to his word and find the peace and the joy that he's promised to give. God bless you to have a fantastic day today.